Movie film. Is it a movie? Great movie. Or film. Fascinating. Is it a movie? Love that movie. Haven't heard of that. Is it a movie? My favorite movie. I'm a bit of a cinephile.
Welcome back, MFers, for another episode of Movie.
Movie.
Film.
Film. It's the podcast where we pick a flick and decide if it's a movie or a film. I'm Nate, and Spider Pig, does whatever a Spider Pig does.
And I'm Terrell, and my real name is Bernard, and I just joined this African-American liberation movement, and I'm feeling black.
Is that a movie we watched recently?
It is.
Is that Meteor Man?
Yes, Meteor
Man. Okay. I got it.
Yeah, well, yours is so on brand. What is it?
Well, it's a song that I just read the lyrics to.
Oh,
maybe this will ring a bell. Spider Pig does whatever a Spider Pig does.
Yeah. But I don't know where it's from.
Dope.
Oh, it's from the Simpsons movie.
It is.
Yeah, okay.
Talking spiders, because today we're doing Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
There we are. Exciting. This has been a while coming.
Yeah, I named it as one of my favorites of the decade, last decade. And yeah, we talked about the option of doing it.
Yeah.
And we haven't yet.
Oh, now we have.
Now we will. but before we do, I don't want to spend too much time on other stuff because I have a lot to say about Spider-Verse, but we did watch Meteor Man.
We did watch Meteor Man.
It's a good follow-up to last week's Hollywood Shuffle because this was Robert Townsend's follow-up.
Yeah. It was his follow-up. It was the first black superhero feature film that he got made. So,
first is the worst, second is the best.
First is the worst. not always true, but in this case, it is true. Oh,
It wasn't the worst, it's just not good.
It wasn't the worst, and it just wasn't good. I just couldn't, it kind of lost me.
Yeah.
Lost me.
Well, the pacing was very bad.
The pacing was bad, the tone was weird, the messaging was
off.
Very, very, just like this, like very heavy Bill Cosby influence of, hey, young man, pull up your pants.
Yeah, he's in it, and his whole judgmental thing is in it too.
Yeah,
yeah,
and it's just really unbalanced, and yeah, it kind of just suffers from, I guess, like immaturity, really.
Really good cast.
And really good cast.
And really great. I mean, Ruth Carter did the costumes. I love the look of it. And it
The bad guys? The Golden Lords? Aesthetically, so pleasing. Like, yeah. I really just like the blonde hair and the blazers and the gold chains.
Well, I know you like the bleached hair look.
The bleached hair. Yeah, I was like, ooh, yeah, okay. So maybe like Halloween, we could do this. I could be a Golden Lord. Like,
that's funny. We were watching Hollywood Shuffle and I was thinking Hinky Dinky Dog would be a great costume. You just need one of those hats.
One of those hats.
Stick the hot dogs in. But yeah, it had good stuff going for it.
It had some good
things. I don't think I'm ever going to watch it again.
No, I don't ever need to watch it again. It just really lacked like a lot of nuance in what it was trying to say and what it was trying to do. And it just put in a lot of poor, like, kind of like skeevy, like sexist jokes in there. And just like that one homophobic joke. Well, it wasn't homophobic. It was just like this weird obsession with just like queer life, queer culture. But like... not doing like a real dive into it, just taking it at like a very like selfish, like surface face value and be like, here, this is what it is, but it doesn't make any sense and it's really cringy. There's a lot of cringe moments in there.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, but James Earl Jones in there,
so funny,
is so good. He so is funny. Like phenomenal.
Just a burst of joy.
Yeah,
just getting to see him just be a goofball.
Oh, he's such a goofball. And like I wish the wig thing continued. Like he always had a different wig on.
Yeah,
that would have been great.
It was like he had like three different ones, right?
Yeah, he had three ones. He had two at the beginning, and then the one he settled on, which is like this, like. asymmetric, asymmetrical. Yeah, asymmetrical.
You're mixing up asymmetrical and asymptomatic.
Yeah.
It's been a long year.
it's been a long
pandemic.
Yeah. And also Sinbad was in there, which was great. He's always good in everything. He popped up. It didn't make any sense, but he nailed it.
Yeah, also a nice little Don Cheadle.
Oh yeah, nice Don Cheadle. Nice like young early Don. Don.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's it. That was Meteor Man.
Yeah, Hollywood Shuffle is the better one.
It's the better one.
If you're going to watch a Robert
Townsend. Up and Away is actually the better one.
Hmm. What is Up, Up,
and Up, Away? Up and Away was the Disney superhero movie I mentioned last
week.
Oh,
okay.
Of his superhero ones, that's the better one. Mm-hmm. That one is for kids.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to follow the comedic James Earl Jones tip. So I watched Coming to America. Yeah. I know the sequel, Coming to America, is coming next week or next month.
Mm-hmm.
Next week is next month. I was right. I think it's at the end of the month, though. I had only seen Coming to America like on cable and not all the way through. I realized when I pressed play, I had never seen any of the whole opening Zamunda segments.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I didn't know that was part of the movie.
Nice.
You got and so that's that. Why I missed your, you quoted the royal
She's
penis.
She's your queen. No. Quoted that one.
Oh, you did? You I did. Quoted, the but royal I probably... penis is clean, your highness.
Oh, yeah.
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 And I remember I didn't get that.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that scene now. All the Zamunda stuff's great. I mean, the whole movie is great. Way better to watch in one sitting than
uncut
with the cussing.
Yeah.
Because there's lots, much better than watching it broken up with commercials on cable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really glad I did that. And I'm feeling ready for disappointment with the sequel.
I know, I'm so scared. I'm so
Based
scared
Based on the
about
trailer,
part two.
They're just doing the same thing that every 10-year-too-late comedy sequel does, where it's like, oh, this character has a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Jermaine Fowler, but... Why are we doing this?
It has to be about the next generation.
Borat's the only one to do that trope well, in my opinion.
I can't comment on it.
Because you fell asleep during it?
Because I fell asleep during it.
Did you see the Dumb and Dumber sequel? Or the Bill and Ted sequel?
No.
Or there's another one that does it. It's lazy. At this point. Yeah. But...
I
like Eddie Murphy.
Crossed.
Hopefully, it's good.
Hopefully, you know, he's writing, you know, mm-hmm. or, you know, he really has his hand on it. So it is good. I have faith in Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched, okay, so after Hollywood Shuffle, we watched Nomadland.
Yeah, it's available to stream on Hulu now.
It's here. It's a big contender for the award season, so we have to check it out. Get a gander at it.
One of those that the critics got to see months ago.
Yeah.
And have just been hyping up since. And yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I get it. It's very nice, very well shot.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Picture. Yeah,
beautiful looking.
Very, very nice framing the director has.
Yeah, it's hard for me to separate my experience watching it with my experience of months of anticipation for it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so much faster than I thought it would be. Like, it did this thing where it doesn't... We don't get to, like, breathe.
You thought it was just going to be, like, her walking around.
The teaser trailer was that scene, which was my favorite scene, probably. Actually, mm-hmm. that's a lie. Frances McDormand at the zoo is my favorite scene.
Oh, yeah.
But when she just says, I'm going to take a walk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be more still.
No, it did move around a lot more than that.
Yeah, and that stressed me out, but also, like, I see how that was, like, what the movie was trying to do, put you in the mind or the feels of a modern nomad who mm-hmm. has to always be on the move, always getting new work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I... It's not my pick for best picture.
It's not your pick.
No. Well, we still got to see Minari.
We still got to see Minari.
So I'm still holding that spot.
I know. It comes
before I announce my pick.
It comes the day this episode comes out. I think we'll get to see it tomorrow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome. Yeah, I can't wait. Now, that's one I've been like I bought into the hype of it. Or no, I wouldn't say I bought into the hype.
Don't
but
be
I've
disappointed.
Just been, I've just been really anticipating it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
After we finished Nomadland, it put us in a mood, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And I got you to watch The Rider, Chloe Zhao's 2017 film, which I like a lot more than Nomadland. But also, I got to see The Rider in a theater.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nomadland would have been a great theater experience. But yeah, what did you think of The Rider?
I liked it. And then I liked how it just had this realness to it I was just like, okay, so these people aren't actors.
Mm-hmm.
And I could let go of just like my inner acting critic.
That must have been tough for you because you're usually like really honed in on the performance.
Yeah.
Though they are performing.
They are performing.
It is non-professional actors, but it is a...
Especially when it came to the dad where I was just like, what's going on with his performance? And then I looked up the credits and then I saw they had the last name and they're all actually a family. Mm-hmm. And then with what's his name?
Oh, if they weren't themselves or like a version of themselves, that movie would be so offensive based on the very accurate portrayal of a girl with special needs and another character. Actually, I don't know what his condition was.
Lane Scott. Yeah, that was really interesting. Was this made to tell his story in part? Because that seemed very crucial and
his story was part of Brady's story. It was Brady's story.
Okay.
Brady Jandreau plays Brady Blackburn, but it's himself. They use clips of his rodeo days.
Yeah, that was really interesting to see.
And yeah,
have this piece made and feature this person that is like life is now affected in a major way because of like bull riding or horse riding or whatever they were doing at the rodeo.
Yeah, that movie is part of what kept me from loving The Sound of Metal as much as you did. Because while I was watching The Sound of Metal, I was like, this has some The Rider vibes, but like not as subtle.
Right.
Just the whole idea of someone having the thing, their outlet, and then it's kind of taken from them.
Right.
They can't continue or else it'll physically hurt them.
Right. I see that.
Sound of Metal more like followed like the story beats of grief. But The Rider just feels more natural. Though the acting is admittedly much better in the one with professional actors. And they're about different things. But
yeah, still beautifully shot. Yeah. Still just great landscaping. I think that
it's slower than Nomadland.
Yeah.
That's, it's a tone poem.
Her Chloe aesthetic is like what is that? What is that vibe? It's just like country. Just like open country.
Like naturalism, realism, maybe neo-realism, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
She makes tone poems. She's like Terrence Malick, but better because she keeps it under 2 hours and doesn't rely on voiceover, in my opinion. Though she is doing a Marvel movie next.
And then
a futuristic sci-fi Dracula. So who knows what Chloe Zhao's career is. Right. Apparently she's the daughter of a billionaire, I found out. So I'm a little less into her than I was before I found that
interesting.
Out.
Interesting. Hollywood is all nepotism. It's all who you know. It's all who you know.
Yeah, well, she went to film school. And
Yeah, so, it doesn't.
He's not a billionaire from the film industry, is the China's steel industry, but yeah, she had the money, and now it's commendable that she's telling, or she started her career at least telling stories of marginalized folks.
Mm-hmm.
people living on the fringes of American society. But like, I don't know. Why is she doing Marvel? Like, at first I was like, okay, good for her. She's getting that paycheck.
Yeah, good for her.
But now I'm like, does she need it?
Yeah, well, hey, she's with got that new family discovery, that
steal money, yeah.
I guess why not make the pot richer?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
You watch anything else?
Let's see. I need to go back to my diary. I watched Spider-Man Far From Home.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's
sequel to
the Tom Holland sequel, yeah. Jake Gyllenhaal's in that.
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal is in there as Mysterio,
so are Robert Downey Jr.'s bad sunglasses.
Yeah, lots of Robert Downey Jr. actually in there. But yeah, no, Mysterio's my favorite villain, so I was excited.
Just like Spider-Man villain or just villain?
Just Spider-Man villain. Okay. He's my favorite Spider-Man villain. I enjoyed it, but for some reason, I really couldn't connect to it, and I feel like maybe because they were in Europe. I don't know. I don't know why.
That can't be it.
That can't be it, but there was something about it that was, like, keeping me from enjoying it as much as I did the first one. I really did like the, like, when, spoiler, when Mysterio, like, showed himself to Spider-Man and, mm-hmm. like, put him inside the illusion.
Yeah.
Like, all of that was, like, really cool.
Yeah, the effects were cool.
The effects were really
cool. What I didn't like as much as the Spider-Man Homecoming. I mean, Homecoming just had this energy to it of it's a high school movie.
Yeah.
And they tried that a little bit with Far From Home, but it's like, who are you kidding?
Yeah.
You're in too deep at this point.
Yeah, this is no longer a high school movie anymore.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, it just lost that touch. Yeah, but I am really interested in this third one.
No Way Home.
Yeah, I'm really interested in that.
Isn't it just a live action Spider-Verse?
Kinda. Yeah. Which is gonna be pretty cool and see if they bring in. Hopefully, I was just having this thought while I was watching Spider-Verse today. It was just like Kingpin is a major villain in both Spider-Man and Daredevil, and they've never put those two characters together.
I think Charlie Cox, who played Daredevil in the Netflix show, is in the new Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think that's finally going to happen, which is really
cool. I don't know why I said I think. I read that.
Yeah.
I quit Marvel, but I can't escape it.
You can't escape it.
No, I know it was Agatha all along, so I don't know what the fuck that means, but I know it.
It was Agatha all along. It's great. You should watch it. Yeah. It's still great. Pass. It's Captain Hahn.
I know.
She's killing it. She's killing it in this, too.
You should watch I Love Dick.
I feel like I've seen I Love Dick.
Oh, yeah?
Let me look I Love Dick
If you
up.
Saw I Love Dick, then you wouldn't have had this big Catherine Hahn's amazing revelation. In 2021.
No, I'm not. I mean, I've always appreciated her.
Is Kevin Bacon?
No, I didn't see
that. It's a limited series. Actually, it was supposed to be a series, but it only lasted one season.
No, I don't know that.
Did you have any more Far From Home thoughts?
Nope. Done with it.
Okay. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good to continue.
All right.
Because I think this might be a long one.
All right, let's go.
Let's hear that trailer. What's up, Danger? For Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Miles!
Yeah?
Gotta go!
If you want me to drive you, we gotta go now.
No, Dad, I'll walk.
Personal chauffeur going once.
It's okay.
Seriously, Dad, walking would have been fine.
Breaking news, Spider-Man saves the day again.
Spider-Man. This guy swings in once a day, zip-zap-zop, Nancy. Accountability.
Speed up, I know these kids.
Yo, Miles, man, you get arrested?
Guys, don't cops run red lights?
Well, yeah, some do. But, not your dad.
In your universe, there's only one Spider-Man. But there is another universe. It looks and sounds like yours, but it's not. My name's Miles Morales.
Hey, kid. You're like me.
How?
I knew my day would come around this time.
I know it's complicated. Just had to get my soul to freedom. You want to know what happened to you? I can teach you to be Spider-Man.
I love this burger. So delicious.
It's one of the best burgers I've ever had. You have money, right? I'm not very liquid right now.
I think you're gonna be a bad teacher.
How am I supposed to save the whole world?
You can't think about saving the world. You have to think about saving one person.
One thing I know for sure, don't do it like me. Do it like you.
Brooklyn! Come
on, stop us now.
I see this spark in you. It's amazing.
Hands up!
Whatever you choose to do with it, you'll be great. I love you, Miles.
Yeah, I know, Dad.
You gotta say I love you back.
Dad, are you serious?
I wanna hear it.
You wanna hear me say it?
I love you, Dad.
You're dropping me off out of school?
I love you, Dad.
Look at this place.
Dad, I love you.
Dad, I love you.
That's a copy.
Time to swing, just like I taught you.
When did you teach me that?
I didn't. It's a little joke for team building.
Hey, guys.
Okay, who are you?
I'm Gwen Stacy.
Come on.
How many more spider people are there?
Save it for Comic-Con.
What's Comic-Con?
Let's go!
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is a 2018 American computer animated superhero picture. This is Spider-Man.
It's Spider-Man.
It is a lot of Spider-Man.
It's a lot of spider. Person. Not even person, just spider.
Should we... So we're doing Black History Month.
Yeah.
This was Black Spider-Man.
This is Black Spider-Man.
That's how it's Black History?
This is Latino Spider-Man, and it's Black History because... what's his name? Mr. Ramsey won that Oscar... And he was the first black man.
Peter Ramsey.
Yeah.
Yeah, won the Oscar for Best Animated Feature. One of the few non-Pixar movies to win that award.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that and... I don't even remember what the other one was.
Yeah. It's usually
it's
Disney,
mostly
Pixar,
it's mostly or... Pixar, yeah.
Yeah.
I was so glad when this won.
Yeah, Peter Ramsey was the first black man to win an Oscar for Best Animated Feature.
Cool.
Yeah.
You told me that this counted for Black History, so yeah. I didn't question it because it's one of my favorites. So
yeah.
I picked it.
Yeah. It's there's a part of it that is Black History.
That's enough for me.
Any reason to do Spider-Man to the Spider-Verse, yeah.
And that is probably the extent to which we will be discussing Black History on this episode. So
yeah.
Thanks for celebrating the month with us.
Yeah.
Sorry for the lack of Men in Black. I saw this. This is one of those, like, Knives Out I brought up last episode that I had movie pass around this time.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw this three times in the theater. And I'm so happy that I was able to do that. Got to see it in 3D, got to see it in 2D.
Nice.
Like a theater full of like kids mostly.
So when he takes a bite of that burger and that burger juice flies on the screen, it flew at your face.
Yep, I had to bat it away.
Yeah, I didn't see this in the theater. I didn't get to see this in the theater. I don't know why I didn't go see it.
Yeah, that's weird. I feel like I was probably talking about it a lot.
Yeah, but I didn't see it until it came to home.
Hmm.
Yeah, and that's the first time I saw it, and I loved it, and then I smacked myself for not going to see it, because I don't know why I didn't go see it. Why did I not go see this movie in the theater?
No idea.
No idea. Or wait, did I? No, I did. I saw it. I saw it with you.
I thought one of the times I went was with you.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So yeah, I saw it three times then.
Okay, yeah.
And one was with you.
Yes.
So, don't smack yourself.
Okay. I'm just making stuff up here.
Okay. Before we start,
mm-hmm.
I got some crew love.
Okay.
The only members of the crew of Spider-Verse that worked on movies or films we've covered before all come from the sound department.
Oh.
And... There's four gentlemen, and between the four of them, they have worked on a variety of movies and films we've covered. such as Tony Lamberti, who worked on Krampus. This one makes a little more sense. Michael Semanic worked on Coco, Star Wars The Last Jedi, and WALL-E.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a little more sense. And Kurt Schulke did The Iron Giant. I guess Krampus is the one that sticks out. And Jeffrey Rube did the sound on A Goofy Movie.
Ooh, nice.
So yeah, a lot of the animated stuff. And Krampus. So yeah, I'm glad we looked that up, because with especially with animated movies, the visuals tend to get the most attention. But with animated, like, all the sound is, you have to make it up. Like, you have to start from scratch,
because you're not, yeah.
the drawings don't have sounds.
Yeah.
And there's some good sounds.
You got to go out to New York with your boom mic and just record the street, the sound, the subway, the train, all of it.
I saw on the credits, like, someone, I forget his name, but someone's credited just for doing the record scratches.
Mm.
It's like DJ something.
Nice.
Yeah.
They had someone come in and just, like, custom, make it all custom.
Mm.
That's dope.
This blew me away for multiple reasons that we'll get into. I mean, thematically, it just hits home. Just the story is cool and fun.
Mm-hmm.
But just, and I just talked about how the visuals get all the attention, but let's give those visuals some attention.
Oh, because the visuals are wild.
Because American animated movies have gotten pretty lazy, and they all are like, maybe Pixar just has too large of an influence.
It's gotten streamlined.
Yeah. This has a visual style that is completely its own, inspired by comic books, among other things.
Mm-hmm.
Big comic book influence.
It's like one of the few comic book movies that uses the visual language of comics. It's like this and Ang Lee's Hulk.
Yeah.
It's like about it.
Yeah.
Sin City. There's
like so many like variations of like comic book style and within the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, and the way that it's used, that we'll get into
yeah.
with specifics. Just really clever, usage of that. And it just looks so cool. And like the movement, mm-hmm. like Spider-Man moves at a different frame rate than the background, that the environments that they're in,
yeah.
or the Spider-Men move at different frame rates.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're like moving. It just like makes the speed look weird because they're moving twice as much.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, they're moving half as much as the background is.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
I just really appreciate them bringing Miles Morales to the forefront. Because
yeah, they did it.
Yeah, they did it. They actually did it.
The internet tried really hard to get Donald Glover cast in The Amazing Spider-Man, which ended up going to Andrew Garfield.
Mm-hmm.
Probably for the better. I mean, Donald has had a great career since not getting Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But this movie's just like, hey, guess what? Donald Glover would have been a fucking great Spider-Man. Yeah,
a great Spider-Man.
And then, yeah, we get Miles Morales.
Which is really cool.
Really good voice performance from Shameik Moore.
Mm-hmm. Because there are so many variations of, like, popular superheroes where, like, their ethnicity is different. But then, like, they just stay in the comic book, or, like, they don't gain the traction. You know, they don't get popular. So it was really cool that Miles Morales got that, you know, push behind him to be pushed to the forefront while we still have, you know, a very popular, you know, Spider-Man franchise going on with Tom Holland.
Yeah, but this movie's so much better than those. I'd be hard pressed to compare these to the Sam Raimi Spider-Man
mm-hmm.
trilogy, but compared to the current franchise,
mm-hmm.
this is so much better.
Yeah. But no, just the fact that, you know, you can have both of them. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Because I feel like a lot of times they don't want that. They don't want too much
well,
of too many of the same thing. Or they was like, oh, this won't sell, so we're just going to focus on, you know, Peter Parker. That's what we've been doing. That's where the money is. But no, they actually did it.
To be cynical about it, though, it is kind of like a political thing. Sony owns the rights to Spider-Man, but they like lend it to Marvel to have him do the MCU movies. Mm-hmm. But this is just Sony Animation, not Marvel Studios. So they got to rake in much more of the profits.
Right.
It was a gamble that paid off because they had a great creative team.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great that they went for it. But also, it was kind of Sony trying to get some money on the side.
Hmm.
How can we get more? I mean, they also did like the Venom movie for the same reason.
Right.
And now we're getting Jared Leto as
Morbius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know who Morbius is.
He's the...
I'm not going to watch it.
You gotta... I was going to say watch the animated series, but you don't gotta... do that, but that's great. And you have Disney Plus, this on there, it's great. I forget all the stuff that's on Disney Plus. Anyway, you want to start?
Yeah, we got a lot. We begin with some fun studio logos because it's multiverse, so you get all the different kinds glitching.
Yeah, they're glitching. The animation is changing. There's like at least three different animations for each logo, which is really cool. The Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
Statue, it changes.
It turns into like a cowgirl. Like a Rudy Tootin' cowgirl.
Yeah, it changes a lot. I imagine that one is like in like Peter Porker universe. You know what I mean? Just kind of wacky. And so that pops up a lot.
And we begin with the familiar Spider-Man, Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm. A very traditional Spider-Man.
Voiced by Chris Pine, doing the traditional, the white guy hero
And it starts off with like his comic book, like dropping onto the screen. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's pretty much just his origin story and like where he's at now and just about how tired he is. I love how tired this Spider-Man is. He's just like, oh, I'm tired. He just sounds tired too.
Yeah, and in this montage, they, like, recreate all these iconic Spider-Man moments, but, like, in their own style.
Yeah, they do the Spider-Man 3 moment.
Where they do the dancing.
Yeah, and he was like, yeah, we don't talk about that.
I talk about that. I love that scene. I was cracking up. I distinctly remember dying in the theater during that scene.
Yeah.
And the whole, like, Peter's moody now. I loved that.
Yeah. It got a big reaction out of people, that moment.
Some of the best parts of Spider-Man 3. In my opinion, he's got MJ. He's a hero.
Mm-hmm.
They reference the Spider-Man popsicle, which is funny. He's like,
yeah, he has I got pop a, culture I have a, relevance.
He's like, I have a so-so popsicle.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing has always been true: I am the only Spider-Man.
Yep, he's the only one.
But then we meet Miles. He's making name tags. He's like doing like doodles on name tags.
Yeah, just chilling in his room, singing along to his music.
Yeah, I can relate to him because both me and Miles don't know the words to that Post Malone song that's in this movie, but we both still like it.
Mm-hmm.
something.
Mm-hmm.
Sunflower.
Yeah, sunflower. So Miles is turns out he's running late for school.
Yep.
So it's one of those classic, let's rush through the house really quick, meet all these characters, and then keep it moving. So we meet his mom and dad.
Yeah, his dad's a cop for the PDNY.
Mm-hmm. And his mom is a nurse.
Yes.
We see him walk past his old school.
His old school, yes. He's in a boarding school now.
He was the man, though. He's very popular. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's doing that thing like, hey, you know, snapping fingers, pointing, giving high fives, passing the ball. You know what I mean? They miss him.
Yep. And he's getting some sticker slaps in.
Mm-hmm.
Those stickers he made.
Mm-hmm.
But he trips on his shoelaces, which are untied
in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
And then his dad stops. It just happens to be his dad. Mm-hmm. And so he picks him up and takes him to school. On the ride to school, Miles just, you know.
I like the reveal because we didn't actually learn that his dad was a cop in the first scene with him in the house. And then the cop car just comes and it's like, oh, okay.
It's his dad. Miles is not happy about going to a private school. Nope. He doesn't care. He wants to go back to where his friends are.
Thinks he doesn't belong there. He got in via lottery, so he thinks he doesn't deserve it, even though his dad reminds him he passed all the same entry exams as everyone else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. His dad just wants the best for him, so he's pushing him into what he thinks is the better school.
Yep. They have different opinions about that. Also about Spider-Man, Miles thinks Spider-Man is pretty cool. His dad, not so much.
His
dad says with great ability comes great accountability.
Not a fan of the vigilantes.
Drops Miles off at school. Makes Miles say that he loves him in front of everyone.
I like this moment.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's embarrassing for Miles.
Yeah.
But it's a really cute moment between a father and a son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a fun moment when he walks into the school. He like quips that like they have a uniform on, so he jokes like, "Uh-oh, we're wearing the same jacket."
Yeah, that, and it's the same charm from when he was like with his people from like his previous school that he's now trying to do at the new school, and it's just not working. Not yet, anyway, because he's still new and no one knows him.
Yeah,
yeah, and you know, we get a quick montage of him going like to different classes and kind of like, you know how like in horror movies, this is what I thought, how in horror movies they do like the teachers like teaching a lesson that applies to like the horror story I had.
Yeah.
In this one, it's just really quick quips of like the teachers being like great expectations and stress and stuff like that. And you can see like he's like kind of like stressed out running from class to class. And then he runs into
physics.
Yeah. Runs into physics and he's late and he's kind of put on the spot.
And they're watching a video that ties into the what's going to be happening.
Mm-hmm.
The video about the multiverse.
Mm-hmm. And the teacher asks him a question and he has like this like nice rebuttal that gets a laugh out of.
No, Einstein says
time's
relative, so maybe I'm early.
And you guys are late.
Mm-hmm.
This gets a chuckle out of one of the girls in the classroom. We don't know her yet. He takes a seat next to her and they start to talk.
Yeah.
And that's it. The teacher comes by and shushes them.
Mm-hmm. We get a moment after class where his teacher, voiced by Natalie Morales, which I just think it's interesting that she has the same last name as the main character.
Oh.
She was Lucy, I think, in Parks and Rec.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. I like her. She's handing a test back to Miles. He got a 0 on it out of 100, but she comments that even someone blindfolded would get 50% of the answers right on a multiple choice test. To get every single one wrong means that you knew what the right one was.
Yeah. So she gives him
100.
Yeah. Yeah, he's trying to flunk out so that he can go back to his, you know, old school, but she
not going to happen.
Let him. Yeah, she gives him a 100. He passes.
Gives him 100, but also gets a special assignment. He's got to write a personal essay
about, who are you and who you want to be? Or, like, what do you want
to
do?
Yeah, we see him start to write, but all he has at the top of the page is just written great expectations.
Yeah. And so he looks outside and he's just like, man, I don't want to write about, you know, my life. I want to go live my life. And so Notorious B.I.G. starts playing and he starts making his way through New York and ends up at his uncle's place, climbing up the fire escape.
Yeah. It's just funny how he like makes a little face at the window.
Yeah.
Uncle Aaron, voiced by Mahershala Ali, kind of looks like Mahershala Ali.
Kind of.
A little lighter skinned Mahershala. None of the other characters are modeled after the voices, but I feel like he is. Aaron's like the cool uncle.
He is. He's
got cool. a punching bag and is going to give some advice on how to talk to girls.
Yeah, he teaches him this shoulder move.
Yeah, he touches his shoulder and he say, hey.
No, you say, hey.
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 Hey. Yeah. Am I doing it?
Am I doing it?
Then Aaron says, I'm going to take you to this spot that I saw from work.
Yeah.
It's a good spot to tag.
Yeah, he sees some of his work, and unlike his father, he is supportive of his artistic, you know, venture. So, yeah, he takes him to this spot so they can tag.
Yeah, they go through an abandoned subway station or, through a tunnel.
Yeah.
Over a fence. Through some security, and then they see the big wall.
Yep.
And it is an exhilarating scene.
Yeah, it's really cool. And while this is happening, the spider is lurking.
Mm-hmm.
The spider's there.
Yeah. Miles doesn't have his powers yet. He's got to get him somehow.
So yeah, this is really cool, just like a scene of him spray painting.
Mm-hmm.
The wall with like Apache and Black Sheep's This or That playing, and like those custom DJ scratches you mentioned earlier are all throughout it. And the art comes out really nice, and his uncle is very supportive. Like, he lifts him up so that he can get higher, and
yeah, stands on his shoulders.
Him. Yeah, he outlines him as the finishing touch. And all the while, the spider is, like, actually on Miles. It does that thing where it's just like, oh, this is going to be the moment where it happens, but then it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen. The spider falls off, but then it gets back on. The spider, at the very end, yeah, the spider does bite him.
Yeah, after he finishes the piece, we get to see that it said, no expectations. It was a bit of a response to the great expectations
mm-hmm.
thing. The spider bites him, and all of a sudden, this is where the comic visual language comes in, because we get like the three panels right away.
Yeah.
Before we haven't had that in the movie yet.
Mm-hmm.
The
color palette changes.
Like, yeah, it gets like kind of nuts with the colors and the textures.
You can see inside of his like the spider bite is like affecting his cells. We can see it.
Yeah.
There's this like dangerous kind of music playing. But to him, it's nothing. He just kind of swats it off.
And then he just flicks it.
Yeah, he just flicks it off of him and then keeps it moving.
And he shrugs. Yeah. But the next day, he's going to be very sweaty.
Yeah.
Something happened.
And maybe muscular, because he can't fit his pants anymore.
True.
Yeah.
His pants are too short.
Yeah.
And he thinks it's puberty.
Yeah.
He gets to school and he's just so sweaty and awkward.
Yeah.
And
the voice in his head is really loud.
The voice in his head is represented by the text bubbles.
Yeah, I love that.
Text boxes. Yeah. And there's the they know scene.
They know.
Which is like, I don't know. It would be really funny used in like a, like, I came to school stoned and I'm paranoid.
Oh, but yeah,
this
definitely.
Is like, I got Spider-Man powers and I'm paranoid.
Yeah. It's just like heightened. This is like insecurities are heightened now.
But it's like the voice in his head doesn't even know yet.
Yeah, he doesn't know yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. He tries to, he has this weird, awkward interaction with Gwen. She
you mean Gwanda.
Gwanda. It's South African. She's from South Africa. And it's bad. Yeah, it's bad for both of them. They're both kind of just like pretty like jumpy. And so he tries to do the move that his uncle taught him, but he's kind of doing it in slow motion, or at least he thinks he's doing it in slow motion. And so he finally does it, and she's like, okay, well, I'm going to go. And so...
But it sticks.
It sticks. Yeah, his hand is stuck to her hair, and he can't get it off.
Yeah, pretty awkward.
Pretty awkward. In front of everyone, right? Everyone sees this happen. He gets flipped by her. Eventually they have to
they go to the nurse
and they have to cut off her hair.
Yeah, she has to get that cool girl haircut because of it.
Yeah. The one side shaven.
Oh, that's when they know. Everyone knows.
Yeah, everyone knows, and he's freaking out.
He runs into the school security guard. He's like, "What are you doing, Mr. Morales?" And he's like, "Okay, play dumb. Who's Mr. Morales?"
Not that dumb.
So he just starts running. This is where he learns, wait, I can walk on the sides of buildings?
Yeah, what? He like ends up shirtless with birds attached to him. It gets
the
real
birds
crazy.
Pecking him and the words peck, peck, peck coming out. I love that.
And he's just frailing around, you know, doing his best. And he ends up in his room.
Mm-hmm. With the Spider-Man Christmas album playing.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Pine has a nice voice. I'm glad they took advantage of that. So yeah, he's in his room.
And then
the comic falls on his face. The Spider-Man comic. So that's when he has the realization. Wait, this is what I'm experiencing.
It's exactly what he's experiencing. Spider-Man? Which is funny.
Yeah, it's like the scene in the comic of Peter Parker first getting his abilities. Getting bit by the spider and then sticking.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, it's not possible that there's two Spider-Men, though.
And then as he says that, mm-hmm. his comic book drops, and then it's the two Spider-Mans.
Yes.
Yeah. And so now he's freaking out. He's going to go to the site where his uncle took him?
Yeah, to check that spider. On the way, though, he calls his dad. He says, I gotta tell someone about this.
Mm-hmm.
So he calls his dad, but he hangs up before his dad picks up. He decides not to tell him.
Yeah. He almost hits a car, has, like, those crazy Spider-Man reflexes, and so mm-hmm. he, like, flips out of the way. People are just like, oh, wow, clap, clap, clap.
Yeah.
All I could think of, man, that boy would be street meat if he didn't have those spider powers.
Yikes. He finds the spider at the spot where he tagged, and it's a weird dead spider that's glitching.
Yeah, it glitches when he pokes at it.
And then he hears something.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes down the tunnel, and it's Spider-Man.
Yeah, he hears Spider-Man.
Look out. Here comes Spider-Man.
And he's fighting Psycho Goblin?
Is that what it is?
I think it's Psycho Goblin.
Or is it just that universe's Green Goblin? It's like a monster version of a goblin. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, this is the first time where we actually see that the universe is different. That something is off here.
No, we got that with the PDNY.
Oh, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't pay attention to it until you said it.
Okay.
But yeah, that would be it.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's Spider-Man fighting, what, Psycho Goblin?
No, I was wrong. I thought I heard Psycho Goblin, which would have been pretty cool.
No, Spidey was just calling him Norman.
Okay.
Yeah. big fight happening.
Mm-hmm. Big fight. Miles gets like sucked into it somehow. Mm-hmm. Now he's tumbling around with them, and he almost falls. And so Spider-Man, his senses start to tingle. He's like, "Oh, someone's in danger!" And he actually saves Miles.
Yeah, and then they have this moment where they're looking at each other, and they are both having the spider senses.
Yeah.
So Peter Parker realizes. He's like me.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I thought it was the only one. This is so cool. I'm going to show you the ropes.
Yeah, he's so open right away.
He's so excited.
Like, I'm
going to
be your teacher. This will be great.
Yeah. But he's like, yeah, but first I got to do this thing, so I'll be right back.
And that thing he's got to do is die.
yeah.
Not quite yet.
Not quite yet.
We meet Prowler.
Mm-hmm. Prowler with that so sound
cool.
cue.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
And all the purple, he gets purple. That's mm-hmm. his color in this movie. Yeah, these just like really fast movements.
Yeah.
Fighting. We meet Wilson Fisk, aka Kingpin.
Yep, he's the mastermind behind all of this.
this character design is incredible.
Yeah. This is how I picture him, right?
It's
really big, small, bald.
It makes
head.
No physical sense. Just like super abstracted.
His head is like in the middle of his body.
And this is a movie where all the humans look like humans, except for this guy.
Yeah.
They do this thing where when they like he gets the close up, his because he's wearing this black suit and he's huge, his shoulders like take up the whole frame, so it's like his head just against blackness.
Yeah.
It's just so imposing. And who is that? Liev Schreiber is good. Good voice. It's just so funny.
It's really good. Kingpin design.
Yeah, there's this one shot of him later where they like have him from below and they show like his chins.
Yeah.
It's perfect. They took some big swings with this one.
So Kingpin opens the portal and
the super collider.
The super collider. And Spider-Man ends up under Goblin, who is holding him inside of the portal.
Yeah.
Right? And then this is where we see the other spider people for the first time.
Just like flashes of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just like, they're having this moment of kind of like something's happening. Like they're being made aware of it. And then there's an explosion.
Yeah, and we see for a moment, like on a street level, we see just a guy looking up at a building, which is turning into these weird, like, cubist. Someone mistakes it for a Banksy at one point.
So, yeah, it does look pretty artful. It's like a bunch of fire hydrants and whatnot. But Spider-Man is down bad. He's really hurt. And Miles comes up to him and he's just like, hey, you're going to be okay. He's like, yeah, I always get up. And then he makes a deal with Miles, like, hey, we have to work together. I need you to take this. And
little, like USB.
Yeah. This little goober.
Goober. Yeah.
This goober and, you know, put it into the machine so that it overrides it. And I need you to do that. Will you promise me? He makes him promise him. And then he runs off. Miles runs off to hide. Because in the distance, Kingpin is approaching with, I believe, Tombstone and Doc Ock. Or no. It's Tombstone and it's Goblin, right?
I think it's just Prowler and Goblin at this
point.
Okay,
it's just Prowler and Goblin. Okay.
Yeah. Actually, Goblin got crushed. Goblin's dead.
Yeah, Goblin's done, right?
Goblin's done.
Yeah.
So it's just Prowler and Kingpin. And Kingpin kills Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Smushes him.
Smushes him once he tells him, like, hey, I know what you're trying to do, and it's never going to work.
Yeah, takes off his mask. You see his blue eyes and his blonde hair.
So, yeah. This
Aryan Spider-Man
is different.
If we can have a black Spider-Man, we can also have an Aryan Spider-Man.
Have you ever seen this Spider-Man before? Like blonde hair?
No.
Spider-Man? I have. I've seen him before. I've seen him in
where?
In the comic
book. Okay.
In the comic
book. Just like on the street.
Yeah. There's this image I have in my head of the two Peter Parkers meeting, and then the other one is like, he's a ghost pretty much. So I knew he was going to die in this one before I even saw it.
I knew he was gonna die because I knew that Jake Johnson played Peter Parker.
Okay.
And I knew that Chris Pine wasn't Jake Johnson. Though right. I wasn't sure that it was Chris Pine, that I had to look that up later.
Okay.
Dead.
Yeah, he's dead. He's killed.
And Miles makes like a noise and Fisk says, "Who is that?" And he directs Prowler to kill him.
Yeah, so now there's this chase scene
that
Miles, he barely escapes using his spider powers.
Yeah, we get to see a bit from Prowler's point of view, and he has like this, like a heat vision kind of, or like X-ray vision, because he's like a predator.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. His goggles.
Yeah.
They run through the subway. He gets... on the top of the train.
Yeah.
His hands get stuck, though.
Yeah, he has a problem with sticking to things. But yeah, it loses him on the street level.
Yes. Because then, Prowler goes very fast on his motorcycle, and Miles was just hiding behind a traffic cone.
Yeah. Miles, he runs to his parents' house instead of going back to the campus, the dormitory at school. And they allow him to stay because they see how scared he is.
Yeah, but he doesn't talk to them.
No.
He doesn't tell them what's up. Just asks if he can stay over.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he asks his dad, Dad, do you really hate Spider-Man? And
his dad's like, well, you know how I feel about Spider-Man. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that same night, news breaks that Spider-Man's dead.
Yep.
And that it was 26-year-old Peter Parker.
Yes.
Yeah. And now all of New York City is getting this news and they're all sad. New York is sad. And then we get this MJ voiceover as she reads a eulogy.
Yeah.
Yeah. A public eulogy for New York.
Miles buys a Spider-Man costume. A lot of people are wearing like the masks to celebrate Spider-Man's life, I guess.
Get a Stan Lee cameo.
Yeah, Stan Lee's final, I believe, cameo.
Mm-hmm.
This was released after his death, pretty sure. Mm-hmm. And it's a significant one. He gets, it's not just like a goofy, like, oh, look, Stan Lee's Hugh Hefner. he gets to give Miles some advice.
Yeah. And I love this advice because you could take it to be like, oh, he's trying to be deep. And then you could also take it to be like, he's trying to make his sale. And like, also like, whether it fits you or not, you're not returning it.
Right.
Like,
read no the refunds. Sign. And yeah. Then he gets a little glimmer on his teeth, I think.
Yeah. He's a businessman.
Yeah. Miles looks at the comic book, at the Spider-Man book, of like that iconic scene of Peter learning his powers jumping from buildings. So he tries to recreate that. He runs up the stairs and he gets to the edge of the roof. And he looks down, and he backs up, and he stretches, and he runs downstairs.
Yeah. And then he tries it from, I guess, a shorter building?
Yeah, shorter building.
Mm-hmm.
And he falls.
Yeah, he gears up to do it, and he trips over his sneakers again, his shoelaces, and falls, like, he just falls down to the street, all the way down.
Onto the goober that he had from the deceased Peter Parker.
Yeah.
So, it's a pretty low moment.
Mm-hmm.
So low that he's going to get all moody. It's going to be nighttime. He's going to go to the cemetery.
Yeah. Go to Peter Parker's gravesite.
Yeah, to apologize to him, pretty much.
Yeah, and say, hey, I can't do this. But that's interrupted.
Yeah, by what? By who?
Someone sneaks up on him, and Miles has this auto reaction, like his body reacts and kind of zaps.
Yeah, it's the Venom strike.
Yeah, so he strikes him with like this like electricity, and it sends him flying, and then he walks over to the person, and it's Peter Parker?
Yeah, could it be?
But older.
Mm-hmm. So we get the flashback, like the beginning of the movie, where he says, "All right, let's do this one last time."
Yeah,
my name is Peter B. Parker. I wonder what the B stands for.
Yeah, and his comic book is The Amazing Spider-Man. So he's The Amazing Spider-Man. He's older, so he had more life to live.
He's divorced. Yeah, sadly, oftentimes more life to live means more disappointments to experience.
Yeah. Married MJ, but divorced MJ.
Yeah, she wanted kids, and he was too scared.
Yeah, he was too scared. Lost Aunt May.
Which makes sense. You're Spider-Man. Like, the people you love are always in danger.
Yeah.
Yeah, lost Aunt May.
Lost Aunt May. Got out of shape. He's out of shape now.
Made some bad financial decisions.
Yeah, he's broke now.
Yeah, you invested in TGI Spideys.
Oh, yeah, don't invest in a spider restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Themed restaurant.
Of course. So, yeah, that's his backstory.
Yeah, he got hit by a drone while he was flying.
Oh, yeah, got hit by a drone. Broke his back.
Yeah.
Which I think that's really canon.
Hmm.
And Amazing Spider-Man breaks his back.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And he's in bed with some pizza when suddenly he gets sucked up.
Yeah, sucked up into the portal, which is great because...
Oh, wait, seahorses.
Oh, seahorses.
Before he gets sucked up, he's all sad watching nature documentaries about seahorses. You get this little aside, which I love. It's just like, he's so sad, and he's just connecting to these seahorses that mate for life, and he can't have that.
He can't have it. He messed things up. But yeah, he gets sucked up into the portal. I love it because like the portal is opening, he should be like trying to get away, but instead he's just trying to take another bite of his pizza. And now we're all caught up. That's how he got here. But Miles knocked him unconscious and the police are coming. And so they have to like get away. Accidentally Miles makes his web shooter go off and then it gets attached to a train.
Yes.
And it pulls the both of them away.
It's a very goofy chase.
Yeah.
And you get to hear the police in pursuit, and you get to hear over the radio, like, yeah, it's like a kid dressed up as Spider-Man carrying around a homeless corpse.
Yeah.
And then he goes through a snowman at one point, so the Peter Parker has a snowman head.
Yeah.
And there's the gag where... it hits against the window of a train and you hear like the guy on the train listening to like some Chopped and Screwed music while the snowman face is like
dragging, getting in slow motion,
like Chopped and Screwed on the window. It's good. And finally they hit the ground and New York does not care. They just walk around,
walk right over them. When Peter wakes up, he's tied to a punching bag. Miles has some questions for him.
Yeah.
Why do you look like Peter, but older? Where do you come from? And then he makes this pretty educated guess of him being from a parallel universe, being Peter Parker.
Spot on.
Yep. He's very spot on. But then Peter escapes, you know, he's like, watch the hands, not the mouth.
Yeah. Miles says the other Peter Parker was going to teach me lessons. So now you are. And he said, well, no, I'm not. Well, actually, this is it. Watch.
Yeah.
Don't watch the mouth. Watch the hands.
This is the lesson. And so he tries to escape. But as he leaps, he glitches and then he falls.
Some side effect of traveling to a different dimension.
And so Miles just trying to like, you know, get him to not be so selfish. And at one point he goes, with great responsibility comes great, and he's like, hey, don't you finish that. Don't finish it. I'm tired of hearing it. Yeah.
And this whole scene is happening on the side of a building, but the way it's filmed is as if they were upright and the building's like sideways. It's fun.
Yeah, and eventually...
Peter, like, walks over the roof of the building as he's, like, walking away. So he's, like, gone from the frame. It's just, like, clever visuals. And then he comes back because Miles guilts him.
Yeah, he guilts him. Gets him to realize that he's just being selfish. And his pursuit to go back home at the value of everyone else.
So it works, and Peter says, okay, well, come with me. We have no time to waste. Cut to Peter just eating a burger. Apparently that diner in his universe was shut down a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I don't think anything significant happens in that scene, though.
No, he, like, Miles wants, you know, some Spider-Man tips, and the only one I can remember him giving him is... clean your mask.
Oh, clean the mask. Baby powder in the uniform because you don't want to chafe while you're swinging.
Yeah. Important stuff, but not the stuff that Miles wants to hear at this very moment. That's like the really responsible, mature stuff.
They look up the Alchemex headquarters, because that is where they can make a new goober.
Yeah, because so goober, yeah, it's broke.
They found out it's upstate. So Miles wants to learn how to swing, but instead they're going to take the bus.
Yep.
Just Spider-Man on the bus.
And
it's not even like riding on the top of the bus or like underneath it by sticking, doing a cool Spider-Man thing.
Nope, they're inside.
They're passengers.
Yep. So Peter Parker comes up with this really great plan, and is told in this very comic book way, like the way that it's like visualized.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't involve Miles.
No.
Miles, who is untrained in every way, would probably just end up getting in the way, he suspects. And so he's like, yeah, I'm just gonna like swing in there real quick, get it, get out, that's it. And so that's what he sets out to do. But Miles, while he's alone, he sees Kingpin, and so he has to like follow and Peter.
This is where we see Tombstone with him.
And so, yeah, he follows Peter inside.
Into the vents.
Yep.
I noticed this time the light fixtures are octagons.
Mm-hmm. He calls him Hobo Spider, which is really funny. He's like, man, why do I have to be stuck with Hobo Spider?
Yeah.
Because he has, like, these sweatpants on.
Yeah. Though that's when I noticed that was the second joke at the expense of people experiencing homelessness.
That's the second.
Yeah, there was the kid dressed up as Spider-Man dragging a homeless corpse.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess Sony figures people without homes aren't buying tickets to Spider-Man movies. I don't know. I feel like the homeless population is one of the last populations that culture is still punching down on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a funny joke.
Yeah,
but then when you think about it, it's just sad. Anywho, surprise, Doc Ock.
Yeah.
I jumped ahead a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah, we don't know that it's Doc Ock yet. We just know that it's this lady talking to Kingpin.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter Parker is able to get the password because he sees her punch it in. It's something ridiculous, but he's able to remember it, I guess, because of his spider memory or whatever. And so Miles also learns by falling that he can turn invisible.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so Dr. Olivia is going to come back into the office because she hears things, she notices things, and Spider-Man is there. And he's going to try and put the charm on her or whatever.
Yeah, but she sees through it. She knows Spider-Man's dead. She's fascinated.
She's very interested.
Smart cookie.
And she ties him to a chair, all the while Miles is at the computer. And she's just like, oh, you're going to deteriorate and it's going to be painful, but I can't wait to watch it.
Oh, one thing, which is why I brought up, I try not to just randomly bring up like the jokes that maybe are not great.
Mm-hmm.
Like the homeless thing, but the reason it struck me is because in the when he's going through the plan, Miles mentions that Olivia's the in charge. Mm-hmm. And so he has this line about like step two, re-examine my biases. So it's like if you're like having some woke comedy, like don't make jokes at the expense of homeless people. Sorry to go back to that. But I thought it was a good joke about re-examining biases, and it's cool that Doc Ock is a woman.
Right.
Female girl boss.
So, yeah, after Dr. Olivia says this, he's like, wait, what's your name again? And she's like, Dr. Olivia, what's...
Octavius.
And he's just like, do people call you...
Do your friends call you Doc Ock? And she says, no, my friends call me Liv. My enemies call me Doc Ock.
Yeah.
Her tentacles come out.
They're pretty cool looking. And they're not like metal.
They're not like the ones Alfred Molina had in the Raimi trilogy.
They almost look like plastic or just like
they're something. Like just like more organic.
Yeah.
They have this thing that like pumps like through them.
Yeah.
They're like tubes.
They are like tubes.
Yeah.
It was a pretty cool design.
Yeah.
And
more fluid.
So Doc Ock's computer is so unorganized, Miles doesn't even know where to begin. So he's just going to take the whole computer, monitor all. And so Spider-Man, Peter Parker's just like, hey, I'm going to handle this. And so he starts to fight Doc Ock while Miles Morales is on the run. There's this really funny moment where Peter Parker catches up to Miles and is just like, hey, great news. We don't need the monitor.
I remember when I learned, like learning as a kid, that like the monitor wasn't
the computer,
the main part of the computer.
Yeah.
It's the like, bottom part. That box is the computer?
The box is the computer, yeah.
You could put a different monitor.
Yeah. And they bump into Gwen there, and she sees Spider-Man and Miles dressed as Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, what? And they're making their way through. There's a really funny moment in the lunchroom where it just looks like a bunch of scientists are on their lunch break, but then they all pull out guns.
Yeah.
They all pull out.
Because it's an evil building.
It's an evil building. And they're just like, hey, he took a bagel.
when he
Spider-Man
takes the,
took a bagel.
When he takes the bagel, the word bagel appears on screen.
Yeah.
like
it's an action word.
Like yeah, it's like a sound. It's a sound. Bagel. But it's just bagel.
But they barely get away. I mean, Miles is not ready. He gets a crash course in web slinging, pretty much.
Yeah.
And just like jump and thwip. Jump and thwip.
Yep. And the thwips show up on the screen as they say thwip.
Yeah. And Miles, he can't get it together. So he starts to run, which isn't fast enough. So Doc Ock catches up to him and almost catches him until...
Doc Ock has a buzzsaw on her tentacles.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like sawing down trees.
Chopping the trees, you're right. And he barely gets away by not listening to Peter anymore.
Yeah, that was the big, most important lesson.
Yeah, it was not to, like, let it go. Let all that go and just go with what feels natural. And he actually does it. He's able to do it in that moment where it counts. And it looks like they're about to get away because they're thwarping. You know, he's getting it. They're having this really cute moment where he's just like... Hey, you know, Peter's just like, hey, I still got it, you know?
Yeah, but Peter glitches.
Yeah, he glitches.
That ruins all the momentum they had.
Mm-hmm. And Doc Ock is able to get back the computer for a moment until...
what's that?
Another spider?
Yeah, you hear some, like, punk rock or, like, pop punk or power pop, I guess. I don't know.
Power pop.
And it's... Yeah, it's a white suit, hooded Spider-Man wearing ballet shoes. And actually, it's not Spider-Man. It's Spider-Woman.
Spider-Woman, yeah. And she is able to just swoop in and kick butt and save the both of them, really.
Yeah, takes off her mask. We see it's Gwen.
That's Gwen.
And then we get the Gwen montage.
Mm-hmm. It's her comic book is Spider-Gwen.
Did you know about her, like... that characters?
I did.
It's interesting. So, like, Peter Parker became the Lizard?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, that's what happened in the movie.
Yeah.
She's, like, she's in love with Peter Parker. She becomes Spider-Man, or Spider-Woman.
Spider-Woman.
And then Peter Parker becomes the Lizard, who she has to fight, and then he dies.
Yeah.
And that was her boy.
Mm-hmm. That was her best
friend. So now she decides to not make friends anymore.
Yeah. One thing I noticed and that I wish that maybe they did a little more of is like it being hard for her to look at Peter Parker. But I feel like
she gets over it quick.
Yeah.
They mention it in the scene where Peter gets distracted by MJ. It's like implied, like I'm able to work with you. You should be able to be in the same room as a different MJ.
Yeah.
But yeah, it should be weirder.
Yeah.
And that's probably why her clear romantic chemistry with Miles isn't fully acted on.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't know. But also he's like old and sad. That can't be.
Yeah.
Much like
the. And he's much older. He looks very different.
So she came to this New York because of the portal.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they come to New York, they're zapped into Times Square, and you get to see like the alternate New York stuff with from Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh yeah, and instead of
Shaun of the Dead,
instead of Bridesmaids, it's Baby Shower.
Baby Shower.
Yeah, there's
like Chance the Rapper, but with the.
With a four.
Four on his hat instead of a three.
Yeah. There's stuff like that.
There's a Oh Hello poster. What does it say? It says Hi Hello, I think.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah.
Yeah.
A little off.
John Mulaney's in that and voices Peter Porker. So it's a little Easter egg there. Coca-Cola's.
Coca soda.
No, it's like COCOA. K-O-L-A.
Oh, okay.
So like Coca-Cola. maybe their Coke still has cocaine in it as an ingredient.
Oh, we see, we get like this flashback with Kingpin.
Kingpin, yeah. Kingpin's on the like observation deck, watching his plan fall apart. I like how it works. He's like giant guy. He's got this little pen in his hand. He keeps clicking it, and as he clicks, we get new like images, and they're almost like watercolor inspired of this montage of his origin or what his plan is, which is to get his son Richard and his wife Vanessa back, or different versions of them.
Yeah, when he was fighting Spider-Man, they walked in on him and they saw him for who he really was, and it scared him.
Who did they think he was? Look at that guy. And also, why does his son not look weird also?
Not at all. Maybe he hasn't hit puberty yet.
It's gonna or be maybe Vanessa's... I don't know.
And so they run away, and while they're running away and driving, they get into a car accident and die. And so his plan, now we understand, is to bring them back. Or bring Git, like you said, a different version of them. Because it would never be them again.
And then we get back to present day, and he breaks the pen.
Yeah. And so I feel like there's a scene where Gwen and Miles are talking, but the next thing I have is they go to May's house.
Yeah, they're riding back on the bus, and it's just clear that there's some chemistry there, but neither of them really know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they go to May's house. Yeah, there's a like memorial outside, like with the toys and the lights, because she's in mourning.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got an awesome Aunt May.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Voiced by Lily Tomlin.
She gets like this very kick-ass edit.
Yeah. She's like thrown off at first to see the three of them, but then
Peter.
Yeah, but then she also does the thing that Miles did, where she's like, "Oh, so you're from different dimensions, blah blah blah."
Yeah.
And then Miles says something, and she says, "Oh, what dimension are you from?" And he goes, "Brooklyn."
So yeah, she's gonna take them to the lair, to the spider lair, which just looks like this very small and humble shed, but is actually way more.
Yeah, Peter recognizes it.
Yeah.
But in his world, he didn't do as much as the goody two-shoes Spider-Man.
Yeah, and he's just like, this is kind of pretentious. Like, he's kind of hating on it, low-key.
He says, like, you know what? This guy's actually sad. I feel sad for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, big surprise. There's more than three.
And there's three more.
Yeah, there's actually six.
Yeah. They jump down from the ceiling. May is just like, you guys think you're the first ones who thought to come here? Which makes sense. I mean, May would be like the place to go.
Yeah, she gives them name tags and says, you might need these. And then we meet some more spiders.
Spider-Man Noir, Peter Porker, Spider-Ham, and
Penny Parker.
Penny Parker, yeah. Who isn't? She wasn't bit by a spider. She just has the spider.
She's friends with the spider who lives inside her dad's robot.
Yeah.
I don't really understand that character. I get the noir and the, but also I just watched my first anime like last week.
Yeah,
so
true.
I'm new to that aesthetic. love the pig though. That's funny.
The pig is very funny.
Very goofy, and love Nicolas Cage as Spider-Man Noir.
Mm-hmm. They all tingle. They all do that tingle thing, like, "Oh, you're like me," mm-hmm. and then you get three more comic books that pop up, and then three origin stories at the same time.
Yeah, kind of in competition with each other.
And so they all talk about the spider, mm-hmm. but then Spider-Ham is just like a radioactive
pig, right?
Yeah, it was a radioactive pig.
Also, he works, instead of the Daily Bugle, which is the newspaper Spider-Man usually works at, he works at the Daily Beagle, which is goofy. So yeah, they're all going to help.
Yeah.
They're going to try to help Miles reach his potential.
Yeah.
So that he can help them return to their homes.
Yeah. And they all put him on the spot, really, mm-hmm. and just like, you know, Peter's just like, hey, he can go invisible. And he's like, oh, well, never mind. He can't do it on command, but he can also do this zapping thing or whatever. And he was like, oh, no, you can't do that. And so they all start to like poke and prod at him like, hey, can you fight? You know,
Spider-Man Noir is like, surprise.
Yeah, surprise attack. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's this montage of them like grilling him. And all of them, like, throwing punches and kicks at him. And then it just ends with him on the ground.
Peter Porker's like, can you float through the air when you smell a delicious pie?
Right. And Miles Morales, you know, gets knocked down so many times that, you know, he kind of just stays down. And everyone's kind of, like,
They have a little huddle.
Yeah.
And then there's the part. Are you sure? Spider-Man Noir is looking back. He's like, oh, he's looking at us while we're talking. That's so sad.
Yeah.
But then he goes invisible and ascends back to the surface out of the Spider-Man Batcave.
Yeah.
Spider Cave, I guess.
Yeah, Spider Cave.
So he does what he does where he's when he's in a bad mood is he visits Uncle Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
But Uncle Aaron's not home.
Nope.
He's gone for work. Some work business. So he leaves a note. But just then,
Prowler
shows up.
Mm-hmm. And he is invisible. He turns invisible, Miles. And he sees Prowler on the phone. And then he takes off his mask. And it's revealed that it's his uncle.
Yikes.
It's Uncle Aaron as Prowler. And he kind of...
It's a dark origin story.
Yeah, he kind of freaks out and exits through the window. But when he does it, he kind of like shakes. I guess there's like a plant or something by the window. And he ruffles it. And so he gets Prowler's attention. And so now there's this chase. Prowler's chasing him.
Prowler's on his cool motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
And, Miles is running away.
Yeah. And he escapes doing the Spider-Man thing, like dodging between cars
mm-hmm.
in a very cool way, even though before he wasn't, you know, he wasn't ready. He couldn't do it on the spot, but it's still coming very natural to him.
Yeah, but it's not really an escape because Prowler's up on the roof tracking his movements.
Yeah.
So when he gets back to Aunt May's house... Where she helped, or I guess Penny made a new goober.
Mm-hmm.
That's her thing. She's like
good
at tech. Yeah.
Yeah. Miles leads all the bad guys to May's.
Yep.
And now there's gonna be a big fight.
Big fight.
Yeah.
Tiny house. Big fight.
Yep. Oh, the house is destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
House is destroyed during the fight.
Hope Aunt May has insurance.
Yeah. Also, Aunt May and Doc Ock are friends or were friends or know each other somehow, because she calls her Liv. She's like, oh, great, it's Liv.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, it's just like something there. Really small. Yeah, it's just a really quick moment.
Well, it seems like this Aunt May was in on Spider-Man's being Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So she'd be familiar.
She would be.
Enemies. We also meet this universe's Scorpion.
Yeah.
Who's speaks Spanish.
Yeah.
He gets Spanish. He gets his dialogue translated with like little comic book. Mm.
And bubble. He's also more machine.
Yeah, he's like cybernetic.
Yeah.
And so it's like 10, it's 10 people in that little house fighting.
Yeah. Just, you know, doing it up. And so, Miles Morales. Tombstone
is there too.
Yeah. Miles Morales ends up with the goober and leaves, goes to leave, but Prowler is on him. And Prowler actually catches him and is about to kill him.
Yeah, they're up on the roof. Prowler's got the grip on his neck, but Miles lifts up the mask.
And yeah, he can see that it's his nephew, and so he takes off his mask. But Kingpin is watching off in the distance, like, hey.
This is that shot of his chins I was talking about.
Yeah.
Because you get him in the car, and then through the window, you see the view of the two of them up on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And the angle is like, you just get to see Kingpin's chins.
And he's just like, yeah, finish the job, do it. And so, you know, he can't do it now that he know that it's his nephew. And so he sets him up right. It's like, starts to back up. But then Kingpin shoots him. Bam. Nice little animation, little red, little giant bam in the background as he falls. And then Peter Parker actually saves Miles from being shot by taking Kingpin's gun. And he runs off with his uncle's body.
Yeah, he actually swings off this time.
Yeah, he swings off with his body. swings over his dad approaching the crime scene.
On duty.
Uh-huh.
Gets to an alley where he deposits the body, and he's kneeling over it. It's sad. It's his uncle who's now dead.
Yeah. They have That's this sad. Final moment.
Yeah.
You know, where the uncle's just like, I just wanted to make you proud. I just wanted to, you know.
And then his dad pulls up and says, freeze.
Yeah. Put your hands up.
And Miles, just out of instinct, goes invisible.
Yeah. And so, yeah, the father walks over and sees that it's his brother dead on the ground. And he saw Spider-Man standing over him. So now he thinks it's Spider-Man that killed his brother. So now he wants a new PPA on a Spider-Man.
Yeah, Brian Tyree Henry's voice. Just like the way he does, like the voice breaking, just like because of emotions.
Yeah.
I just find very powerful.
Yeah.
It's a small role, but he, and then in his next scene especially, just great stuff. He's the new, whoever the last person was that does like bit parts in movies and then stands. I don't know who the last person of that was, but with this and If Beale Street Could Talk, he's the new.
And Joker.
That. I don't think he.
Stood out in Joker.
Okay.
It was just a small part.
Though. Other than it was like, oh, another cast member from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Joker's Joaquin show.
They all meet up at Miles' room, in his college dorm room. Mm-hmm. Not college dorm. In the dormitory of the high school. And he's just like, hey, it was my uncle, he was Prowler, he's dead. And so they all try to relate with him. Something funny that I thought was going to happen is they all were going to mention Uncle Ben, which it seemed like it was going to go that way.
We never get to hear who Peter Parker's Uncle Ben was. When it gets to him.
Yeah, no, he doesn't.
For Peter Parker, it was my Uncle Ben. For Spider-Man Noir, it was my Uncle Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
For Spider-Gwen, it was my friend Peter. And then Peter Parker just says, yep, the one thing that is true about all of us is we lose people that are close to us.
Yeah.
The holes, like, in his snout.
Also, like, his eyes.
Do the same sad eye movements. Yeah. Animations. I love that. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Hiccuping.
But then
his roommate comes in.
Yeah, this is cut short, and they all have to hide on the ceiling. I remember this moment from the trailer where they're all like this unit, and they're all trying to like move around the wall. But then he actually does spot them, and then Spider-Ham is just like, "Hey, can animals talk in this?"
Yeah, I don't want to freak him out.
I don't want to freak him out, and then he passes out. And so they all come to this conclusion that they're going to leave Miles behind. They're going to take the goober and they're going to leave him behind.
Yeah, Peter B. Parker is so depressed, he's going to sacrifice himself.
He's going to stay behind.
So everyone else can get home.
Yeah. And so they tie him up. Peter Parker ties Miles Morales to the chair using webbing.
And webs his mouth shut.
Yeah, and he's just like, you know, how will I know when I'm ready? And he's just like, you won't. It's a leap of faith. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. You just got to take the leap. And while he's webbed up and silent, his dad pays him a visit.
Yeah, the scene is devastating. Mm-hmm. It's just very high drama. The dad on one side of a locked door, the son unable to respond because his mouth is webbed shut.
Yeah.
And his dad's trying to connect with his son and deliver the sad news that his brother just died.
Mm-hmm. But he doesn't say that. He just...
No, because his... But also, he's just the way he's like, you don't have to respond.
Yeah.
I can see your shadow. I know you're there, and you don't have to respond. But we know Miles would respond if he could.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah. And so, yeah, he pretty much just leaves him this I love you message. And I'm pushing you because I love you and all that.
Yeah, I love you. You don't have to say it back, though.
Yeah. And then he leaves. And then Miles has this moment of growth where he gets to reflect and just be really eternal and be like, okay, well, I need to do something to protect these people. I can't just sit here.
Yeah, I guess all the emotions he was feeling helps him get in touch with his powers. He can zap the webbing off.
Yeah. Now. What did you call it? The Venom Strike?
Venom Strike.
Venom Strike. Yeah, and the web goes everywhere. And then his roommate wakes up and looks around the room and doesn't see anything and then goes back to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then Miles was invisible.
Yeah, so he's in control.
He's in control now. He's controlling it. And then we get a origin montage where he goes to May and he gets a uniform. He gets a Spider-Man uniform outfit.
He spray paints it.
Yeah, he makes it his own. And then he goes to the building.
What's up, Danger?
What's up, Danger? Starts to play, and he jumps off the building. He takes the leap of faith.
I love the leap of faith. It's the way it's shot is so exhilarating. And then it does this thing where as he's falling, it goes upside down.
Yeah.
So he's rising.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, he's rising.
At the height of his powers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a fall.
Nope. And he's a natural, man. The kid's a natural. And he's just swinging and running. And
Aunt May gave him web shooters. So
yeah.
He's improved with that.
Mm-hmm. She really looked him out with everything. And we get to see, I guess, one variation of his outfit with, like, the hoodie and the shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, we get to see the rest of it. While this is going on, the team is crashing a benefit, a Spider-Man benefit,
yes.
Where the waiters
at Fisk Tower.
Yeah, like Kingpin is just like, me and Spider-Man were friends. He's bullshitting.
He's just using Spider-Man's death to get money.
Yeah, and all the wait staff is dressed up as Spider-Man.
Yeah,
which makes it really easy for. The
for them to sneak in.
For them to sneak in, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just like Spider-Man with bow ties.
Yeah. And Peter Parker sees MJ and he can't help himself. He has this moment with her where he is trying to apologize to her, but uses the breadstick as the subject.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she's very confused. Yeah. She just wants her breadsticks.
Right. Meanwhile, Doc Ock is working in the lab, mm-hmm. having a breakthrough.
Yeah.
That starts like an earthquake, kind of. You get the Jurassic Park thing where the glass of water, it like cuts back to the benefit. You see the glasses of, I guess it was champagne, the ripples.
Yeah, starting to shake.
Yeah.
Because they're about to start the sequence.
Yeah, so Kingpin's got to go.
So everything starts to glitch. And as our gang of spiders approach where the goober needs to go, they start to tingle. And then it's just like, crap, they all know we're here. And then Doc Ock appears. And now it's going to be this big fight between everyone.
Yeah, we get to see what Spider-Ham fighting looks like.
Yeah, really cool, actually.
Which is like a wacky cartoon hammer.
Yeah. Miles pops up. He's invisible. He makes Olivia punch herself, like, why are you hitting yourself type of moment. And they're all very happy to see him because he's just like, wow, like he got it, like he figured it out. And his costume is pretty cool too. It's just like mostly black with the red webbing
and the red fingertips.
Yeah, red fingertips and like the really like white eye.
Yeah.
All the dimensions are actually coming into Miles's world.
Yeah. So Miles's dad, who's currently working, starts getting close to the tower because he's the kind of guy that goes towards danger. He says, "What's up, danger?"
He says, "What's up, danger?"
I've said that too many times on this episode.
So now we get a Porker versus Scorpion, which is really funny because it starts with him dropping an anvil on his head. Very on brand. And then it goes into him fighting him with like pulling out a hammer out of his hands. Like not even a hammer. What is it? Like a mallet?
A mallet, yeah.
He pulls a mallet out of his
hands.
He just
goes full Gallagher on his ass.
Yeah, and then they all like join in the fight and they all beat up Scorpion. They're all able to take out Scorpion. Scorpion takes out Penny Parker's tech. Her
dad's robot.
Yeah, her dad's robot.
Why did that? That's sad.
And so the spider pops out and is on her shoulder. This like psychic spider, that's what it is.
Peter's trying to get the goober in, but he puts it in the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Doc Ock is fighting him, so some difficulty there.
Yeah. But Miles, I feel like Miles is able to take care of Doc Ock for the most part, and then they're able to do it. They get the goober in. And then they start to say goodbye one by one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I forget the order exactly. It's like...
Well, the like last three we met are the first three to go.
Yeah.
Then, we got Miles and Gwen have a bit of a moment. She compliments his costume.
Yeah.
They decide to be friends.
Yep, friends, see you around.
And she goes.
Mm-hmm.
And now Peter Parker is being stubborn.
Yeah. Neither one of them want to see Spider-Man die. It's really sweet. It makes sense that Peter Parker gets a little bit extra. Just even if it's like a minute, even if it's 60 seconds extra. Of a goodbye, where Miles is just like, no, you got to go home. I can handle this. And so that
he reverses the sneak attack.
It's a full circle moment
mm-hmm.
for the both of them because Miles kind of teaches him a lesson, the lesson that he taught him, and that it's just a leap of faith.
Yeah. And also, he had, like, Peter Parker had a nice little arc of, like, his marriage ended because he didn't want kids, but now he's bonding with this kid. He has this moment at one point where he's like, oh, wait, do I like kids?
Yeah, do I want kids?
Yeah.
Yeah, too. That Peter Parker did a lot of growing.
Mm-hmm.
Did a lot of growing.
Real Nick Miller arc.
And he's just like, not bad, kid. And that's his last line as he falls into the portal. And now it's Kingpin versus Miles.
Yikes.
Yeah.
With Dad cheering him on.
Yeah.
Knowingly.
Yeah, it's Dad cheering him on.
Made it to the control room.
That pushes him.
We didn't even talk about the art style of this.
Oh, the
this
art style whole scene.
It's like everything's
amazing.
Going berserk. And random objects are coming in, being incorporated into the fight, like a subway train and cars being thrown
and
on
buildings
people.
And floating glass.
The Brooklyn Bridge at one point.
It's so much eye candy. It's just so much color, so much happening. It's really cool design-wise.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, yeah, they get to have like this train fight mid-air. It's really cool. And the portal's still open, so while Kingpin and Miles are fighting, Kingpin has Spider-Man in the same position he did before, and his wife and kid that he's trying to bring back are glitching.
Yeah.
They see it.
But they don't recognize him.
No, they're just like, what's going on?
Yeah, he's killing Spider-Man.
It's the same thing happening again. And so they run off and leave him again. You know, it gets pretty grim for Miles. He starts to lose, but it's his dad cheering that kind of wakes him up.
Yeah, he can hear his dad going, come on, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Which is huge because he thought his dad hated Spider-Man.
Right.
Now he's Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
He's being cheered on.
Yeah.
And he does what Uncle Aaron taught him.
Yeah.
Fisk says, you're never going to see your family again because I won't get to see mine. And Miles says, no, I'll always have my family. And that's where he incorporates Uncle Aaron's move.
Yeah, he does the shoulder move. He touches him on the shoulder and says, hey. And then he does the
zaps
venom.
Him.
Yeah, the venom strike. And sends him flying so hard in the direction of the button that needs to be pressed to like close the portal. He hits it. And then,
yeah, I mean, he's pretty big.
He's pretty
gonna
big.
Hit it,
no matter what size it is. And then there's like this big explosion. Like everything kind of goes back to normal because everything was like glitching. And then there's a blackout. There's an explosion, but then everything is fine. You know, Spider-Man is like hanging from his web, and his dad has like some debris on him, but he's fine. He's able to get up.
Now we're going to wrap it up with a sweet phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man, Miles,
mm-hmm.
on the roof, calling his dad. We get a split screen, them on each side.
Yeah.
Apparently his dad's left-handed.
Yeah.
Because they have the phone on opposite ends.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets cut off.
Yeah.
Because then Miles enters the crime scene in his Spider-Man mask, interacting with his father.
Trying to put on a voice.
Yeah, does his dad know?
No.
Even after he hugs him?
No, I think he's more confused than anything.
Yeah.
He's very confused. He's confused by the hug, and then Spider-Man says, I love you. And he's like, yeah, wait, what?
Yeah, so I feel like he should know.
Maybe he might like get hit, but I don't think in this moment he's...
Well, Miles reveals that he webbed Kingpin up very high.
Mm-hmm. And then he introduces himself to everyone as the new Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
then we get, let's do this one more
time. Oh, one more time. Yeah.
Yeah, one more time.
And his montage ends with, and there's one thing I know is I'm not the only one.
Yeah, it's really cool because you get his final like comic book. And it's him in his outfit. Like, it doesn't say Miles Morales or anything. It says Spider-Man, like the Spider-Man. He's Spider-Man now.
You get the moment where he says, and the truth is anyone can wear the mask. And if you didn't know that, now you do.
Yeah, it's really cool because, it starts off with that, you know, I'm the only Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it all relies on me. And now he's like, no, we were all... heroes, we can all be this, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
And then you're watching and you're like, I can be a hero, I can be heroic.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to take a leap of faith.
Mm-hmm. And
you just have to decide, you have to choose to do good and then do it.
Hey! You guys don't know, but that is from the Junie Tyson. That was really cool, Nate. All right. And also, in the montage, we also see like Peter Parker getting his life together, like going to MJ with roses, like trying to make it work again.
And you get to see Spider-Man Noir figured out the Rubik's Cube, which we didn't bring up. He's colorblind. That's why it's funny.
Yeah.
Or like he's in black and white, I guess.
He's like, is this purple?
Yeah.
Is it blue? Yeah. We get to see a piece of like each of their lives and what they're up to.
I think Spider-Ham is just eating a hot dog.
He's just eating a hot dog.
What's in the hot dogs in their world?
I don't know, but he loves the hot dogs. That's his thing.
But animals talk.
Yeah.
Who's he eating?
Himself. He's a cannibal.
Probably. And then we end with Miles just being Miles in bed with headphones listening to Post Malone.
Mm-hmm. And then a portal opens?
Yeah, I guess they have control over the portals now because it's Gwen being like, hey, let's hang out.
Hey, you got a moment? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You can see Gwen.
Yeah, and then the end credit sequence. We get some fun opening credits in these movies and films we cover. Not so many fun ending credits, but mm-hmm. this has some cool designs.
Yeah, very action-y, like very like forward. I don't know. It's just like the way that like it's like a picture on a picture on a picture on a picture.
Yeah,
like the way like it's moving. And like they're all doing their thwarping and they're running and they're flipping, and it's just like it switches back in between each version of Spider-Man that we saw in this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really nice.
And there's an end credit scene.
Oh yeah. That I saw for the first time.
Yeah, Oscar Isaac as Spider-Man 2099, or I don't know, the futuristic one in Nueva York.
Yeah, he can. His thing is that he can warp through dimensions. Mm-hmm. And so he, they're just like, I don't know.
2099.
Whoever his, I don't know, I guess equivalent to like Alfred is like, where do you want to go first? And he's just like the beginning. And so
right.
He goes to the beginning and it's the 2D
and it's that cartoon. Yeah, it's the meme of the Spider-Man pointing at each other.
So it just ends with them pointing at each other.
Yeah.
And then that's it. It's really silly. It's really funny.
Yeah. He is set to return in the sequel. That, I'm worried about.
Yeah, it's a different team, right? As of right now.
Yeah.
Peter Ramsey is not attached to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy that wrote it wrote the new Wonder Woman, which is, I don't think I talked about on this podcast. It's not good, folks.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm worried. I'm worried about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse a movie or a film?
Oh my goodness. Into the Spider-Verse?
Yeah, the one we just talked about. I think it's a film.
Oh my god, why didn't I have an answer to this?
You're freezing right now.
I'm like mad froze. I'm gonna say film as well. I'm gonna say film. There's a lot of like nuance in just like the visual.
The visuals are great. I mean, also just like thematically, it all ties up really nicely together.
Mm-hmm.
And it continues to just give me goosebumps at the end where he's like, anyone can wear the mask.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a nice story, good characters, and just put together so well.
Yeah.
Just a great presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And
a really good message that it could have
turned out real cheesy and hammy, but they didn't ham it
up. Yeah, this movie could have been really bad.
Yeah.
But it's not.
No.
It's excellent.
It is
excellent. And it's not a movie. It's a film. So that's it for Black History Month.
That's it for Black History. Whoa, yay. Happy Black History 2021. Let's see.
We got Men in Black. We got Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Black History.
Black History.
We will be back next week. But first, I should let you know that we're on social at MovieFilmPod and on email, moviefilmpod@gmail.com. If you want to reach out and engage, do it. And check back next week for a new episode of Movie.
Film. Thwip.